Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If we find our direction or counsel from people that counsel from the Bible, we're going to be in a much better place than the ungodly. Now, another passage, Proverbs 12:22, says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So even though we don't want the counsel of the ungodly, and wicked counsel is bad, we want counsel.
Seeking counsel is a good thing, but the source of that counsel is important. We can be quick to pick up the phone and call a friend for advice, but if we aren't receiving biblical advice, then we can find ourselves worse off than when we started. With 2 Samuel 16, verses 15 through 17, and the dangers of bad advice, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, it is life-changing. It gets inside of us and does its work. And we pray as we take time to see Absalom taking bad advice, ignoring good advice, and being swindled with advice, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in us as we consider these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our study in the life of David. This is our 29th study. I was surprised to find that out. I went to go count up how many we've done and to find out that we're in the 29th study. This might even be the 30th study. I mean, I counted 29 and we may be in the 30th study. So we've been over a half a year already in the life of David. We will be covering part two of 2 Samuel chapter 16 through chapter 17. In this section, David has fled Jerusalem from Absalom, who now is about to move into Jerusalem. And I think the reason that David fled is because over a four-year campaign, his son Absalom had won the hearts of the people. He was savvy. He knew what he was doing. He was good-looking. He was charismatic. And he won the hearts of the people. And as soon as David knew that this was significant, he left Jerusalem. I think because he didn't want the battle in the streets of Jerusalem. And David had an advantage out in the field. He had lived in the field on the run from Saul. He knew the country of Israel backwards and forwards. He was able to battle Absalom. That would give him an advantage over Absalom in time. Now, this turns out to be a very short and appalling reign of King Absalom. We're basically covering his reign today, but he does have a short reign. This study is really about three different accounts of Absalom receiving advice. Two from a man by the name of Ahithophel, and one by a name of the man of Hushai. Ahithophel was a friend and trusted advisor of David, who turned on him to give advice to Absalom. David is brokenhearted over this. David said in Psalms 41 about Ahithophel, even my own familiar friend whom I trusted, who ate bread, has lifted his heel against me. Ahithophel is also the grandfather of Bathsheba. And it may be why he left David and went to Absalom, because he had bitterness in his heart and wanted to see David repaid for what he had done to his granddaughter and his granddaughter's husband. Now, this brings us to the first principle that we have tonight. And that is, when you sin significantly, when it is a severe sin, especially, it could be any sin, but a severe sin, especially like the sin of David, you never do it in a vacuum. You never know who it will affect and how it will affect them. And so when David was looking on that off of the balcony, the porch, and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and he was tempted, he was enticed. He never thought it would reach the depths of Absalom taking his kingdom, the results of what Absalom would do, and that Ahithophel would turn against him. Had he thought those things through, maybe he would have never have done it. And maybe in the midst of the temptation that you and I face, we would think about that as well. We can easily forget about what the results could be down the road. Now, Hushai is another advisor. He's not as well known as Ahithophel. We talk about Ahithophel a lot, but Hushai is another advisor. Ahithophel seems to be a better advisor than Hushai, but Hushai can hold his own. He's also a friend of David, and he was fleeing from Jerusalem with David when David basically said to him, why are you here? Why are you not back in Jerusalem with Absalom? What he was doing was setting up an espionage ring with two priests Zadok and Abiathar and Hashuai, and the two sons would be runners who would meet with the young woman who would go out and meet with David. So David could find out what's happening in the court. So these guys are, they're moles. They are double agents. They're working for David, but they're in the as if they're working for Absalom. Now, David has three of these people that are in this position. The title of our message today is The Day King Absalom Followed Bad Advice. And I'll give you a parent warning at this point as well, all right? We're going to be talking about some mature things. And I've got a subtitle, The Appalling Reign of King Absalom. And it truly is an appalling reign that this young man has. Now, before we look at the text, let's consider a few things the Bible says about counsel or about advice. First of all, Proverbs 12:5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked is deceitful." So it's good to know that we need advice and counsel, but if we take counsel from the ungodly or the wicked, it could be a very bad thing. And Absalom will take advice from Ahithophel that has other motives than what is really being seen. Now, second, Psalms 1:1-2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So if we don't follow ungodly counsel, I think of how many places counsel is offered today. We need to discern what's godly and what's not. And to just oppose against ungodliness, Psalms 1 says, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law he meditates day and night. If we find our direction or counsel from people that counsel from the Bible, we're going to be in a much better place than the ungodly. Now, another passage, Proverbs 12:22 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." So even though we don't want the counsel of the ungodly, and wicked counsel is bad, we want counsel. We want to be talking with people. We want to find out what they think. We sometimes can just be thinking wrongly. We need to bounce things off of people. I find two things about decisions that I need to make, or two things about decisions that the pastoral staff here at the church, or maybe the whole entire staff needs to make. And that is, first of all, that we take time to think about it. That we don't just make a decision, but we actually put it in what I call the cooker. Put it in the oven. Let it marinate for a while. Think about it. It's like clarity comes with a little bit of time, not rushing into a decision, but also talking about it. I found that talking to my wife, she's very insightful. I found that taking advice where you can find it from people who know the Lord and who are godly can be very powerful when it comes to making decisions. Now, one more. This is Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So when you're foolish, you think you're right, even though the decision you're making is wrong. But when you heed counsel, you listen to counsel, it's godly counsel, and you take it, then you are a person who is wise. Now let's take a look at our text and see Absalom receiving bad advice that he takes, good advice that he doesn't take, and fake advice that he follows. So he misses it on every boat, all right? So here we go, 2 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 15, and this talks about Absalom coming into Jerusalem with Ahithophel, the faithful advisor of David. This is verse 15. "Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, 'Long live the king, long live the king.'" And I wonder if Hushai, who we know is a double agent, because we saw it in chapter 15, I wonder if he was thinking about David when he said that. "Long live the king, long live the king." Not you, sucker, but David. Verse 17. "So Absalom said to Hushai, 'Is this your loyalty to your friend?'" His little sarcasm. "Why did you not go with your friend?" And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain." Now, he resorts to flattery. "Now, God's chosen you, Absalom, and that's why I'm here. And all the people have chosen you, and that's why I'm here." Now, he's lying. The Bible doesn't say whether things like this are right or wrong. It just gives descriptions of them. There's description in the Bible and there's prescription. Description is when something's described. Just because it's described in the Bible by someone that we deem to be on the right side, a good guy, doesn't mean it's the godly thing to do. If it's prescribed, God says to do it, then we're going to find out prescription tells us what to do and not to do, and that can be trusted. But I don't know what we expect a double agent to do when they're in the middle of a hostile environment. How's he going to handle it? How would you handle it if you were a double agent that was sent in? I had a friend of mine who used to work vice and used to tell me the stories where he's a strong Christian. And he used to work vice in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he used to tell me the stories about working vice. And I would think, as a Christian, I don't know if I could do that. I really don't know if I could go and be that different person for a while that you had to be able to catch these bad guys. But anyway, I don't know why I told you that other than it happens. Verse 19, furthermore, whom should I serve? Says Hashuai. Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in the Father's presence, so I will now be in your presence. So Hashuai is a counselor, has been a counselor to David. Now he's trying to win over Absalom. How did he do? Verse 20, then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. Now there's no reason for us to think that Hashuai and Ahithophel are standing there together while this is being done. This is over a period of time that Absalom asks Ahithophel, what should we do now? What should be our first move? Give advice as to what we should do. Verse 21, and Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep his house. There are 10 of them that he has left behind, whom he has left to keep his house. And all of Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So his argument is that if you do this, your father's going to find it vile, and the people are going to see that you're willing to stand against your father, and their hands are going to be strong for you. What does Ahithophel really want? He wants to put such a divide between father and son that there can't be any reconciliation. Because up until this point, there's nothing that's been done that can't be reconciled. Absalom has won the hearts of the people, but God could work and David and Absalom could reunite. David could take his proper place and Absalom could be by his side. But Ahithophel doesn't want that. So he sets up this appalling act with these concubines. Now, concubine was not quite a wife, but you were able to have relations with them. And so why did David need 10 of them? David had Michal, Saul's daughter. David had Abigail, David had Bathsheba, David had Ahinoam, and David had others that we don't even know their names. It just said he took other wives and concubines at this time. So David has all these concubines. Somebody said to me one time, look, David had a lot of women. Why does God say that I have to be, you know, that to be monogamous? If David had all these women, seems to me that it's okay with God. My response was, have you ever studied the life of David? Because it was the many women that caused him the problems. Had David not had concubines, weren't his wives enough? He had to have concubines? Had David not had concubines, this couldn't happen. Had David not sinned with Bathsheba, this wouldn't have happened. This was foretold when the sin was revealed. This is the consequences of sin that's still coming out. And so it's because of decisions David has made that allows this to happen. Verse 22, so they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house. One pastor said it would be ironic if it was the very spot that he spotted Bathsheba from, that the tent was pitched. And he went into his father's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. Now I wonder how Israel felt about that. I wonder how the nation of Israel felt. I wonder if he lost any supporters because of that. A little bit later on, we'll read of a man from Baharim, which is on the other side of the Mount of Olives, that helps David out. And so I wonder if he lost people because he had done this. Verse 23, now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as one who had inquired of the oracle of God. So was the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom. In other words, it was really good advice. Ahithophel was a top-notch advisor, and he gave this bad advice, and Absalom followed it. Now, the next thing we see is that Ahithophel gives more advice. This time, however, he gives good advice. And the crazy thing is that Absalom won't take it. He gives bad advice, Absalom does it. He gives good advice, and now Absalom doesn't take it. This is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." So he's going to murder the king. Ahithophel is ready to murder the king. Why? Probably because of the bitterness in his heart. Probably because his son-in-law was murdered by David. And so he's going to come with 12,000 men. David is running. They're tired. They're weary. They have yet to cross the River Jordan. And so he can kind of catch them, pin them up against that with 12,000 men. The people will flee, and I will kill only David. That's murdering. It's not allowing them to surrender or capture them, but it's murdering. I will kill only the king. "Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return, except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and the elders. Absalom was, I like that. My dad's finally dead. Now, why did Absalom have such bitterness against David? If you haven't been with us, then you don't know that one of his sons violated one of his daughters. They were half brothers and sisters, and Absalom was the full brother of the daughter who was violated. And David didn't do anything to Amnon for violating Absalom's sister. And when Absalom fled after killing Amnon, David didn't do anything either. He just ignored him and left it alone. That grew into bitterness. That grew into such a hatred in his son that he wanted David to die. Parenthood that neglects is not really parenthood. And David is a good example in a lot of things, a bad example in some things, and parenting is one of them. And so this pleases Absalom. So then in verse 5, Absalom said, "Now call Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And now comes in the double agent. This is like a Mission Impossible, right in the Bible. "And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, 'Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up.' So Hushai said to Absalom, 'The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time.' Said Hushai, 'You know your father and his men are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field.'" Now, it is true. David has his mighty men with him, and they may be upset. And his analogy is a pretty good one. If ever you spot a cub in the wilderness, you need to find out where the mom is immediately, right? And you certainly don't want to play with the cub or pick up the cub, because you're going to get eaten if you do that. And if you don't believe that, there's a channel on YouTube called Scary Bear Attacks, and you can read about people messing around with bear cubs and the results of that. So his analogy is really good. That's a real YouTube channel, by the way. And because I watched a couple of them, they keep popping up. And then I watch them and swear I'm never going to go into bear country, ever. So he's got mighty men, and they're enraged, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. "And your father is a man of war." And that is true. David's known for killing Goliath, a giant. David is known for fighting for Saul and becoming one who could kill 10,000, where Saul was attributed 1,000. David was known when he became king of settling the enemies that were around them and settling them so that they were no longer enemies. And so David was a man of war. And so he says, "And will not camp with the people." So now he's just kind of throwing things in. Ahithophel's not going to be able to go find him and kill him because he's not going to camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. "And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first." So these 12,000 men go and fight the mighty men of David, and then they're overthrown, "that whosoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.'" So Absalom, this is a bad idea. There's going to be a slaughter, and people are going to hear about that. And that's not how you want your reign to begin. "And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all of Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise you, that all of Israel be fully gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba. That's one tip of Israel to the other end. Gather together the entire army with you, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to your battle in person. You, Absalom, lead the battle. Now, what is this going to do? First of all, it's going to buy David time, because it's going to take a while to get messengers out to Beersheba and Dan and have them gather together. Number two, it's going to put Absalom at risk, because Absalom's going to be out in the field. And Absalom is not like David. David is battle tried. I watched a documentary a little while ago on Caesar's battle against Pompey. Pompey had significantly more men, but Caesar's had been fighting for him for many years, and they defeated this army that was like 10 times bigger than them just because they were seasoned in battle. And maybe the general's decision, certain decisions that they made that I'm sure played a part of it. But that's how important it is to have seasoned people that are with it. And so to get Absalom out on the battlefield, he's bound to make a mistake. So he says, you go to the battle in person. This is a little flattery as well. You lead the people, Absalom. So we will come upon him in some place that he may be found. And now he gets very dramatic. And we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all of the men who are with him, we shall not be one left that is so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster upon Absalom. So what did it say about Ahithophel's advice? It was good. Had they pursued David immediately, they would have found him weary. They would have found him unable to stand up and fight in the battle, and they would have defeated them. But now this buys them time. So God was answering King David's prayer. When David heard that Ahithophel had joined, this is what he said. This is 2 Samuel 15:31. Then someone told David that Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, we find the spy team, the espionage, at work. They've got to get the information to David. They got to get David off of that field, across the Jordan River, where they can regroup, get their men refreshed and strengthened, and get them back over again.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.